me with my ChatGPT and copy and pasting, right, versus another me with Devin, I don't feel like there's going to be a huge efficiency jump, right? Because Devin is essentially doing the same thing I'm doing. And so I'm just going to be sitting there looking at Devin like, all right, what you going to do, you know? Talk about Devin AI. I just kind of saw it when I was doing the research for this episode. And I mean, it just came out, and it's kind of been trending all over the place. And I remember in last episode I told you about the AI agents that I was building. And it's the same concept, but they just made this look very nice and polished compared to, you know, kind of the tools were like multiple things and you had to use multiple tools. Where Devin kind of looks real cool, but I don't know if it's really practical. So just for our viewers, you want to tell them what Devin is so that they understand?
Sure. Yeah. Basically, like the way I understand Devin is your pre-programming guide, and it helps you take the prompts from you. It would actually create a workplace where it would define a plan on how it's going to execute on the tasks. It will also have its own browser, debugging capabilities, and it'll do it on your behalf while you can just watch it doing. So it's pretty interesting program. I also saw the video that you are alluding to, and it was really, really good. But when I actually wanted my team to look at that, right, some of the feedback that I got really early on is that, hey, if you're doing something simple and singular, like you have one goal that you want to achieve and you want to use Devin to do that, it is doing the job to some extent. But on an average, coming from like a corporate perspective, I see that complex projects, which has like multiple goals, multiple coding languages, and they are trying to integrate all of them together. I see, like, I have some doubts as of now, but I'm not sure whether it'll get cleared in the next few years. I don't know. Yeah. What do you think?
So I'm gonna kind of say what Devin is in a little different way. So simple, okay. You know, because it's very technical, right? So like picture, you have a software engineer writing code to make some type of app or web app or something, right? Generally, you would have to do that yourself. You would research, you'll Google some APIs, you would write code, you'll get errors, you'll try to fix it, right? So that's you as a person trying to problem solve and write code to solve a problem. What the Devin AI is essentially it has four tools. It has the coder, it has the internet browser where you can research, it has a console where it can actually run code on your computer, and then it had, what was the other thing it had? There was another thing that it had, but pretty much it was able to run code. It had the planner, right? So whenever you're doing a project, you usually want to plan out, you know, the different tasks to do it. So what Devin did was, and we're saying Devin is AI, right? So it would first, you would say, build me a simple app, right? It was like, all right, it creates this plan. And you can see all this on the video, so you guys should check it out. So it creates this plan. Step one, I should do this, two, three, four, and do this. So it creates a plan. Secondly, it starts writing the code, and then it tests the code. The code doesn't work. It gets error. It can go then Google what that error is, try to fix the code, and it just keeps going doing this process until you get a code that works, right? So for businesses, this would be like, instead of literally a software engineer, you would use this Devin AI tool. But as you're saying, it's not, like I said in the last episode, I tried to do something very similar. It's the same thing. We're probably using the same technology. They're using GPT-4. And, so they're probably using the same thing that I try to use. But they're just making it super user-friendly and easy compared to me just throwing together some code. Right. But like you said, it's like I said earlier, like it's not practical. Like try it, it sounds super cool, and this is not even released. They're not even letting people use it because it's not ready, right? So I think it's a good concept, but I think we're super far away from it.
Actually, it's I see a lot of things. Whenever you market it, it seems like a really rosy picture, but when you actually get into the weeds of it, for your particular application, how useful it is, that's the question. Like one of the things, as you mentioned, was like when you're actually using it for some of the tasks that you want to automate or some tasks that you want to build. I have questions when, you know, when there are multiple layers of code, some legacy code, some user authentication is required, how Devin would do that. I don't know right now. Currently, there are a lot of questions. But when I see the video, it just pops out like, oh my God, something is happening here, right? And that just blew my mind, blew my team's mind. And that's why we started looking into it. But again, like as I always think about stuff like these, is that taking a little step back and trying to see what are your objectives and is Devin currently going to help you with that or not? Because I know the underlying technology is ChatGPT, trying to write a lot of stuff. But even nowadays, there is a new adage called previously 80% of a software developer's time would be building code and 20% debugging. Nowadays, with ChatGPT code, you spend 80% of time debugging the code and 20% writing. So, but you are still using that amount of time, right? So it's the flip of that, you know, debugging versus coding is what I'm worried about and also hopeful about.
But I mean, if it, if they do get it, which I think they will, right? It will happen.
Some point in time.
If they do get it, even if it's 50%, like I think I saw the stat was like it completes it by like it's only like 13% where it actually gets successful like code. And I think like
ChatGPT was like 2.8%.
Yeah, it was really, so it was high compared to relatively, but like 13% of like that's not, you can't, you know, that's not really, you can't really do nothing with that, right? So the concept is super cool, but like I mean just picture like this for small businesses of like I'm not paying for a software engineer, right? I don't like, I don't need a full-time software engineer, but I may need a quick app or something like that. But it's like, it's not even, it won't be able to build stuff from scratch. You know what I mean? It, it would be able to do kind of like that, that, that idea that I had where I just need it to build functions, right? For, that I can use for my other code. Like if it has a very clear defined, like just something of like that, I think that it could do that. I feel like it would be okay doing that, but like building something, actually build, like, I don't think that's practical.
And actually I would like take it a step ahead and I will say the value that, the new age AI agents are going to drive is going to be very questionable. Why? I'll give you two examples. Number one, do you remember Lensa AI that would actually the take app. Your picture and then, you know, you can you view yourself in like some different persona? I was understanding their like revenue structure. So over the past, before 2022, they were doing $500,000 on a monthly revenue, right? That's decent. On December 2022, suddenly their monthly revenue rose up to $30 million, right? By February 2023, it came down to again $1 million, right? So that was just a blip. And then it has been like that since then, right? So I understood that you could create something very quick and, you know, get a lot of excitement around it. And you get like high valuations for that time. But is it creating long-term value for the consumer? As compared to some other app like Uber, right? It took time to build. It understood the problem that exists. And that problem still exists. Uber is still solving it. So over the years, they are doing billions of dollars in revenue. Well, that's the difference. I'm trying to make a contrast in terms of how much long-term value does an AI app or an AI tool that comes up is going to provide an individual or a company in the long run as compared to just a blip.
But I think so this, the Devin AI concept, right? We don't know if Devin AI will survive or not. Like it's just, it's just a startup essentially. Right. The guy on there is super smart though. I was reading about him. Like it's awesome videos. Like, I mean, he's crazy intelligent, but
like 6 years ago, he, I think he won some award,
some like math thing. I mean, he's super intelligent, but the concept, right? Like me trying to do those agent swarms, and that the agent swarms is kind of a thing that's already been, people are trying to do that the last 6 months or so. There's like Crew AI came out, what is it, Autopilot, like Microsoft has Copilot. There's a Autogen is what I'm thinking of. there's a whole bunch of AI agent team type software, which is essentially what Devin AI is. It's you have different AI agents doing different things. Essentially,
you can just like view it now.
Yeah. But this is like so for me, like this tool is more for small to medium businesses. Like corporate is not going to use it, right? Like, it's just not practical for them, I don't think. But for small companies that don't have teams, like this would be a good tool to get you going. But you still need a software developer to be able to run it. Like, right? So it's almost. It just kind of helps you go faster, because like how I do it when I'm writing code is I'll tell ChatGPT write the initial code, copy, paste it, see if I get an error, paste that error, be like, hey, fix this, it didn't work, here's the error, take a screenshot, and they'll be like, no, be like, oh, well, check out my console, be like, oh, nope, my network, like, so I'm just like problem solving with it, which is essentially what Devin is going to do, right? Yeah. So like for people like me, like, yeah, it's going to be powerful, but you still got to kind of know, like I said, you still got to know a little bit, right? But it's not going to be like building something completely from scratch.
Let me ask you one question.
Something or building a part of something.
Yeah. One question which I often think about is, let's say you run across an error that Devin or ChatGPT is not able to figure out. What happens then?
I keep going. I keep giving them that error. It hasn't happened yet, to be honest with you. Yeah. Most of my code, it can figure it out. Otherwise, I'll just say write it a different way, use a different library if I can't, and I'll usually figure it out somehow. Some of it is kind of hard because you don't even know what to ask sometimes, right? Or like a lot of times it's I'm using like web apps, so it's like something it can't see in the air, and so I have to go to my Google Chrome console and like inspect the page and then see the network, but I just take a screenshot of that network thing and then give it to it as a picture, and then it could be like, oh, we'll try this today. So even if it can't fix it, it'll tell me what to try to do, and then I can kind of figure it out from there. It takes a long time, honestly. Probably, I mean, a senior person would probably be like, oh, like this, do this in 5 minutes, and maybe take me an hour trying to problem solve through it. But it generally can figure it out. And at worst case, I'll copy a link of the documentation of whatever I'm trying to do and paste it in there, and then it'll read the documentation, and then it could figure it out. So it's kind of a longer process, but it pretty much just figured out everything I've thought of. But I mean, so I think it could be powerful for small to mediums, right? Startups, but it once it gets to a certain level, you still need a software engineer. So like I'm trying to think of like what is the practical use case for this, you think?
This
season is brought to you by Visual Intelligence, your dedicated team and partner for data strategy, innovation, AI, and data analytics solutions. As a special thanks to our listeners, Visual Intelligence is offering a free exclusive AI tool every season. This season, it's the Google Trends AI Data Analytics Assistant. This tool offers actionable intelligence on market trends and consumers' interests using Google search data. It's our way of helping you leverage AI without the need of a big data team. Use the link below and enter your email in order to get access to the tool. Also, you can visit us at visualintelligence.com if you need any assistance in anything data, AI, or data analytics related.
I think the practical use case is it is not going to just replace the whole team. But there is this concept called pair programming, where two software engineers are actually solving one problem, actually sitting side by side, you know, helping each other out. I see Devin AI to be some sort of that. So that is number one. And in addition, I'm like, I'm trying to understand about the scenarios where it is not about errors, but it is about when your code is doing what it's supposed to do, but while it is supposing to do what it is needing to do, there are some loops that it goes into, thereby making AWS calls go higher. For example, I came across this particular problem in my past life is when I wrote the code actually was going into an infinite loop because I did not stop it, right? It was giving me the answers, but in the back end, it was under an infinite loop. Since we were owning the physical infrastructure, I could not catch it for like almost a month. But suddenly I got a call from IT like, hey, like what kind of code are you running, man? Like what's going on? And then is when I came to know. But there
picture,
is where I
picture that was like an API cost or something
Yes. Like, and then every like minute or week or days, or
requests cost or something. Cost.
That would be horrible. Something that is something that worries me.
Yeah.
In a large organization, because some loops, when let's say you're running your data on like millions of customer data, right? And if you stop, if you don't stop your code from actually going through that loop, because that's not an error. It's doing what it's supposed to do. It just increases your cost of cloud. And, you know, that's scary.
But it can, I feel like it can figure that out. I mean, I think it will know. I mean, it's a super smart.
I think that's a good assumption.
I feel like it's smarter than us. So I think it would know, like, it's looping itself. You know, like, most of the time I'm like, optimize this code. Like, and it does super well optimize. So I think it would figure that out. I think it could be not, like, I think it depends on how you prompt it, though. I think if you don't prompt it, give me the most efficient or optimized code. Yeah. It just gives you what it does because it's not thinking about cost. But if you tell it, like, hey, I have a cost every request, make sure you don't, like, I think it can do it. But it'd be kind of back to you as the human, making sure you do prompt engineering right and request exactly what you want, which is why I said it still needs to be ran by a software developer because they need to know how to ask and what to look for, right? And even like to the point of once you have the code that works, like you got to implement it, like you got to put it on a server. Like I don't think it's going to be able to do all that. It's not going to be able, I mean, I guess it could, but you know what I mean? Like it has
you
to,
need
there,
to go
there's
into
multiple
like the,
steps to
like, CI/CD pipeline, right?
Yeah.
Continuous integration, continuous deployment. And you also want to make sure, like, this is the learning I think that we can share with our listeners is that make sure you make the prompt that you're writing optimizing for the resources which are available for that code.
But if you don't, if you're not a software engineer, you're not going to know to say that, though. That's the part I'm saying is like you're not going to know, oh, there could be an infinite loop. Like, I need to make sure that, like, because you don't do it. You know what I mean? So that kind of goes back to like just knowing a little bit still gets you a super far away. Like,
yes,
super,
it does.
But like with the Devin thing, like, I still don't see, I'm sitting here trying to think about it. Like, you have to have a software engineer no matter what, because you're not, a regular person can't run it that doesn't know anything about software. And so is it kind of going back to like just the middle software people are fucked? Like what, I can't see, I can see small to medium businesses using it, but I can see like one software developer on a team and it has multiple Devins working on something. Right. But I can't see it doing a full thing. Like I could see it doing pieces, right? Like I was saying, like if I'm building like the one app, the Google Trend app, right? It's like I could tell it like, all right, build this function to pull data from Google Trends, right? And it gives me that function. And I could tell another one to connect, build this function for an API, and then it could do that. And then I could put it together, right? But I don't think it can build all of it and then be like, oh, then I want you to style it, like I want you to format it, like I feel like there still needs a software developer to do it and put it together and make it one piece, right? And so I think it could expedite the actual application and the and building it, but I don't think it can replace them.
I think that as the technology is moving forward, it might be able to do that in maybe X months or a year down the line, but you would still need somebody having an oversight on how it is doing. Just looking at the matrix of the output and input matrix that you have. For example, one of the output matrix is how much am I having in cloud cost, right? How many times am I querying that API that is, you know, external API that you, that is charged per call, right? What is the actual ratio of the things that you're doing versus not doing within the API, right? So those matrix then need to be closely monitored by somebody, not necessarily a software developer, right? But that will actually give you an idea that whatever you built end-to-end by Devin AI, is it actually doing, which is doing, but is there anything which is happening behind the scenes? For that, you can maybe, I see a model of software developers being independent contractors for projects. Like, hey, you come in, set things up, and then, you know, it's like a subscription to software developers.
Like
is what Devin AI can unlock.
So let's say at Amazon, if someone gave you 10 free Devin AI licenses, how would you use it currently in your team?
currently, I would first of all like get everyone on board onto learning with it mm-hmm. because it's a new paradigm.
Yeah.
The reason I say that is because software development is a logical thought process on how to solve a problem, mm-hmm. right? But here the problem is being solved by a tech.
Mm-hmm.
So getting onboarding to that problem is one. Secondly, moving forward, I would want to see how much is the productivity gains I'm getting out of those teams. Third, I would also encourage leaders to see how the software developers are perceiving it, because we are going to need them for some time.
Yeah, right? But how would you see, paint a picture of
mm-hmm.
your team has this, how would they use it?
Yeah. Mainly, it depends on the projects that they're working on.
Well, like in real life, like right now, like yeah. you don't have to tell me the project, but like if you're yeah. like, here's 10 licenses,
mm-hmm.
how would you use it to try to help whatever you're currently doing? Like, would yeah. you say like, hey, you guys like use this to mm-hmm. do different tasks? Like, mm-hmm. How do you think you can use it? Cause I'm trying to figure out like how I can see corporate actually using this, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. so like if it's your team, you got software developers,
mm-hmm.
how would you see them be like as using this as a tool to help whatever they're doing?
Yeah. So, I think at first, again, I'll say I'll have to make them onboarded because people are currently a little wary about it, mm-hmm. to be honest. Secondly, when they are onboarded, I would want to identify projects which are simple and can be understood by a whole team together so that if something goes wrong, we can fix it on the go. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to use, I would say, complex projects with Devin AI. Thirdly, I would want to compare it. Mm-hmm. So I'll ask some software developers to work on a project. Same project, I want other software engineers to work with Devin AI.
Yeah.
And I want to track like how much time it takes to build,
mm-hmm.
how efficient the code is, when it is actually going into production, how many bugs and other things that are taken into account.
Mm-hmm.
And then following the matrix in the back end.
Mm-hmm.
So these four things will give me an idea at every step that is Devin AI really providing value in terms of operational efficiency or not?
Okay, so I think kind of the answer I'm looking for is more mm-hmm. of a, when you implement, like, so it sounds like it would be a tool that they can use, but mm-hmm. it's not going to replace anybody. Like, that's kind of where I was trying to get, right? It's like,
yeah.
like if you're using a corporate, you still need your software developers. Like, yeah. I don't think it's going to replace any of them at this point. Like, so it's like, it's just really going to be, does it make your software developer more efficient or less efficient? But it's not going to be a substitute, I don't think. It's kind of yeah. where I was trying to get, because I have a hard time thinking of
mm-hmm.
how a corporate can use it. And the only thing I could think of is they can use it alongside their software developers to try to increase their efficiency. But yeah. but replacing them...
often, in the current state, if you have 10 software developers,
mm-hmm.
You can use Devin to make them as efficient as possible.
Yeah.
Right. So, for example, let's say you've taken a number like if you have 10 software developers, you get the efficiency of at least 7.
Mm-hmm.
The other threes are, you know, like in some XYZ reasons. Now, the 10 software developers can become 9 efficient mm-hmm. as compared to 10, right? So, efficiency increases. But the point I'm trying to make here is, next year, when I'm going to the universities and hiring new engineers, then is when how many additional new headcounts I'm going to be looking at.
Yeah.
It is going to impact that.
Yeah.
Because since the efficiency has increased from 7 to 9,
mm-hmm.
the next year I will be hiring accordingly.
Okay. Well, I don't think there is a me with my ChatGPT and mm-hmm. copy and pasting, right, mm-hmm. versus another me with Devin. I don't feel like there's going to be a huge efficiency jump, right? Because Devin is essentially doing the same thing I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just going to be sitting there looking at Devin like, all right, what you going to do, you know? So, I don't really, like, using an AI to help you write code, and that's a huge efficiency compared to not doing it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, not just writing it manually. But you and ChatGPT versus you and Devin, I don't really see a huge benefit difference or efficiency difference.
I agree. I don't see, as of now, it's just been 2 weeks for Devin AI, so I also don't know what's in the toolkit there in depth. So but, I also don't see a lot of difference.
The concept is the same, right? It's agent swarm. But only thing I could think of that will be great for Devin, because to me the only thing that's different between the two is Devin can write or can run the code, right? Mm. Currently there's agents that can't run the code, but then you can use the code interpreter which can run it and then see if it works or not and then go back, right? Yeah. Where right now a human's doing that, we're running it, like I said, copy and paste and go. Mm. Where I can see it being very beneficial is something like I have a e-commerce tool where I have to connect to like 10 different APIs, right? Like Meta, Instagram, TikTok, whatever. Mm. What would be cool is I could be like, Devin, give me the code for all 10 of these APIs, right? And it can write the code, run it, see if it works, write the code, run it, check. All right, next one, right? Mm. So for me, the Devin thing is not good for one thing. Like it's
so
like
automated debugging of the code also.
Well, that's what Devin does. It runs it, checks the error, then it can go Google and then come back, right? But like what I'm saying is that like Devin doing that for one thing, I don't think it's that efficient, more efficient than me doing it for one thing. Yeah. But what I think is good is like if I'm like, hey, give me code for 20 APIs, right? Mm. Instead of me doing that and going back and forth trying to race Devin, I can just put Devin on autopilot. Mm. He can run and give and just be like, here are all 20 APIs, right? So like I guess what I'm saying is I can see the value of doing doing a project where you're getting a lot of things, like a lot of functions, a lot of APIs, like but not just like build this app. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like so, it has to like be able to do a lot of tasks and then just hit play and then it does it. Like that's where I see the benefit. Not so I see Devin completing a task, a series of tasks that you can just autopilot and put on automation. Not replacing a developer to build a specific one thing. Yeah. Does that make sense? I'm saying?
There is where I think the corporates starkly are different because whatever code we have written so far, we have made sure that it is efficient in terms of not repeating ourselves again and again. So a software developer mindset is actually build code for solving a problem and making sure that it can scale.
Yeah.
Right. For example, the one that you mentioned, like if you want to write and connect with APIs across different social media, then you would want to do it like, you know, we will do it on the go. Devin would do that definitely on an autopilot. But yeah, this is like an interesting thing to so.
Welcome to the Binary Views podcast, a dual. Welcome to the Binary Views podcast, a dual perspective. What the fuck is wrong with us today, dude? Oh, it's hot.
Yeah.
Let me turn my AC on.
Welcome to Binary Views Podcast, a dual perspective discussion podcast. That sounds weird. A dual perspective discussion podcast. Does that sound weird?
Do you want me to do this one?
Sure.
All right. Cool. Welcome to Binary Views, a dual perspective discussion podcast on OIA.
See, Welcome to the Binary View podcast, a dual perspective podcast on AI and data analytics. I don't like that word, dude. I'm switching that up.
Yeah. Acting as a pair programmer with you, doing the things for you as you can watch it doing it.
I don't like it that I made you do that.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that over. Yeah, because it should be just us talking. Like, we shouldn't act like the camera's here at all. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
I'm sorry. I set you up for failure on that one.